snarled the woman André had come to see. Astonished, yet obedient, André Chevalier strode into the office and quietly closed the door. He turned to discover the identity of the person responsible for rudely barking the order. Head down, the woman with whom André had an appointment remained intensely absorbed by the papers on her desk. Hand to his abdomen, he assayed her a small, respectful bow.
"Bonjour, mademoiselle,"
he said in his most soothing manner. André's voice, a deep, rich baritone that was irresistible to women. This woman resisted. In fact, she said nothing, nor did she bother to even look up at him. André paused for a moment, still waiting to be addressed further. Finding himself utterly ignored, he quietly sat down in front of her desk in a rather uncomfortable metal folding chair. Minutes passed in awkward silence. André Chevalier crossed his leg over his knee, carefully maintaining the crease in his pant leg. He was suffering from an array of emotions he rarely experienced. Disquiet, irritation, and worst of all, boredom. Glancing across the desk, he studied the rather severe-looking female seated behind it. The exceptionally curvaceous woman appeared to be in her early 40s. André noted that she wore no jewelry, nor was there a wedding ring on her finger. The nameplate on the desk read, "Miss Kim Witherspoon, IRS Investigator." Miss Witherspoon had not once raised her head or even acknowledged his presence. For some inexplicable reason, the woman was behaving in a particularly discourteous manner. This was an entirely new experience for André. While he observed many, oh so many people who were rude, no one was ever rude to him, particularly not a woman. His thoughts went back, examining his behavior thus far. To his mind, he had comported himself faultlessly. He had dressed with care, arrived on time, greeted her respectfully, and obeyed her instructions to the letter.
Mon Dieu!
How was she able to so completely resist his charms? As a refined gentleman, one who scrupulously practiced the common courtesies of civilization, André didn't quite know what to make of her. Miss Witherspoon's neck was angled downward so that her face hovered closely over the papers strewn across her desk. Apparently, the testy woman had poor eyesight. This posture limited André's view of her to merely the taut bun of brown hair atop her head, which gave him only a vague impression of her sturdy shape and form. André's fingers flexed with a powerful desire to pull every one of those bobby pins out of her constraining chignon. Just as removing a pair of nipple clamps will cause sharp pain and then a deliciously sensual ache, André knew that Miss Witherspoon's scalp would hurt with pleasure the moment her hair was set free. He wanted to set her hair free. Jaw clenched, his lips compressed into a straight line that echoed the woman's severity. What he really longed to do was set her free. Her chignon, like the rest of her, was wound entirely too tight. André studied her with strong interest. Perhaps her choleric temperament derived from unsatisfied desire. Did she require sexual release?
Bon, et bien alors? Right, well then.
If so, he was just the man to assist her, for he knew the cure. Miss Witherspoon, even wearing the boxy suit jacket that covered her austere off-white blouse, was unable to hide her assets. The somewhat daunting female was amply endowed. Like many women of shorter stature, her breasts seemed particularly bountiful. André adored women. In fact, he loved all women. Introverted, extroverted, tall, small, slender or robust. He enjoyed them when they were shy, and he adored them when they were talkative. He prized women with small breasts and large nipples, and women with large breasts and small nipples. In fact, André had never met a woman he didn't like, except, perhaps, Miss Kim Witherspoon. Since the irritable woman was still deeply engrossed in the forms before her, André took the opportunity to peruse the small office. The walls were painted a dingy, two-tone green, and the gray carpet was threadbare. It was decorated, if such a term could be used in typically utilitarian civil service fashion. His eyes were next drawn to her desk, which was of plain gray metal, as were the filing cabinets in the corner. A low table held a coffee maker, and on the far wall were a number of coat hooks, upon which hung a single gray jacket and a long gray woolen scarf. Directly below those two items was an umbrella stand. It bristled with an array of handles. There was not a single splash of color, or even a pretty picture on the wall to enliven this dreary office space. Miss Witherspoon's workplace was a clear reflection of the monotonous and at times menacing work of the IRS. André's stomach roiled at the thought. He hated having to deal with taxes. He considered the arcane rules and obscure variances to be the hobgoblins of those who enjoyed such singular and tedious pastimes. The Frenchman much preferred to concern himself with matters that he felt were of far greater importance. Usually his staff of competent attorneys and accountants shielded him from the annual mundanity of this type of government intrusion. However, today's events made his personal attention mandatory. His presence had not simply been requested, it had been required, instructed, commanded. André was highly accomplished when it came to giving orders. Receiving them without prior agreement to act in the submissive role seemed to be testing his customary patience. Shifting restlessly in his seat, he hoped to gain her attention. The infuriating female continued reading a ream of printouts, as though completely oblivious to his presence. Oblivious! Had he ever suffered such an insult from a woman?
Bien sûr que non. Certainly not. Never.
Droplets of perspiration prickled along his hairline. A trickle of sweat traveled down the center of his back. The lifeless room was oppressive and claustrophobic, while Miss Kim Witherspoon still had not bothered to look at him. Apparently accustomed to the authoritative position behind her desk, Miss Witherspoon enjoyed her power. She must be well aware of the poor souls who had the misfortune of sitting opposite her, as she held them by their financial balls. André restrained himself from sighing aloud, pointedly clearing his throat, or making some other unseemly sound, such as screaming. He briefly wondered how long it would take the woman to notice if he quietly snuck out of the room. Edgy and impatient, he knew he was obliged to wait. André hated waiting. Continuing his perusal of the room, he noticed a low settee was positioned against one wall. The table beside it was piled high with folders and papers of all description. A bulletin board hung above the table, covered over with memos and announcements, most pertaining to various tax matters. On another wall hung a nondescript calendar. His mind drifted. André began to consider the various methods with which he could use that settee with a willing submissive, or, more pertinent at this moment, how he might punish a discourteous one. Tilting his head, he curiously studied the sturdy iron coat hooks. They were the perfect height to be used for restraint in any number of delightful and exciting positions. The woman cleared her throat. At the sound of it, André turned his head to face her. At last, he was finally able to regard the ill-mannered IRS investigator who had chosen to personally plague him. Miss Witherspoon's spine and shoulders had straightened. Her pale, round face glared back at him, a kindling light in her gaze. The pupils in her brown eyes seemed very, very large behind her horn-rimmed glasses. Her expression was one of annoyance.
"Mr. Chevalier," she said, sounding like a teacher about to discipline an unruly child.
André winced at the discordant cacophony of sounds, but he did not correct her. Her disdain was evident in her mispronunciation of his name, Chevalier. Miss Kim Witherspoon kept speaking, heedless of the oral annihilation of his surname. She sniffed.
"Your records indicate purchases of some highly spurious items, which I cannot believe fall into the category of valid, deductible business expenses."
Her lips pursed disapprovingly.
"I am desolée to hear it,"
he said, but he thought that at last they were getting down to the reason his presence was required today. André uncrossed his legs
setting his feet flat on the floor. The wool fabric of his trousers seemed to cling and drag at him in the stuffy room. He could feel the clammy touch of the French silk shirt he wore, now damp with his sweat. "The paperwork is not definitive," she accused. "It is flawed, erroneous, imprecise." The last word was growled as though condemning him as a murderer.
"Mille pardons, 1,000 pardons, mademoiselle. I need answers."
"Certainement, certainly."
André spread his hands and smiled broadly.
"I am willing to discuss anything in order to alleviate your concerns. I wish to resolve this matter as quickly as possible, n'est-ce pas? You understand?"
The woman peered at him above the rim of her glasses. Frowning, she did not seem impressed by his deep voice, his rich Parisian accent, or the hand-tailored clothes he wore. His natural charm seemed to bounce right off of her, as stones would bounce off of a thick cement wall. Formidable. That is the word he would use to describe her. Years of working as an IRS investigator had made her tough, stubborn, and unyielding. André's jaw clenched as an image flashed through his mind. He imagined seeing her fall to her knees in surrender, watching her willingly submit to him. He knew exactly how he would punish such disrespectful behavior. After silently staring at him for a moment, Miss Witherspoon looked down at her papers once again. She then started to tap her pen against the top of her desk, creating a slow, irregular sound that echoed quite loudly for such a tiny, irksome noise.
"For instance," she said, "there is this item. A St. Andrew's cross, oak, polished with accessories. Are you a religious man, Mr. Chevalier?"
André bit the inside of his mouth to keep a bubble of laughter from escaping his lips.
"Of a certainty, mademoiselle. I am a man of faith, philosophy, and deep spirituality. The St. Andrew's cross helps me attain spiritual communion with my clients."
"Hmm." She continued to glare at him, her brown eyes flashing. After a moment, she nodded, apparently satisfied with his explanation. André ran a finger under his shirt collar, feeling the heat and oppressive closeness of the tiny office. It had become insufferably snug. Physical discomfort on a polo field he could well understand, yet to sit cramped, restricted, and disregarded, it was intolerable.
"Very well, but what of these items? Can you explain this?"
Her index finger stabbed at one of the papers on her desk.
"A suspension rack? Are you a mechanic?"
André again fought to hide his amusement.
"Mais oui, I am a mechanic of sorts. I often use a suspension rack in my own work."
His reply was truthful, except for the fact that it wasn't automobiles that he tuned up. The motors he got running were of the human variety. Her eyes narrowed.
"And this item? A kneeler? I suppose it relates to your spiritual quest, similar to the cross?"
"But of course."
He nodded his head. Perspiration continued to trickle down his neck. André dabbed at himself with his silk handkerchief. Even the indomitable woman seated before him seemed affected by the heat. Moisture was starting to bead on her scowling face as well. Clearly uncomfortable, Miss Kim Witherspoon shook her head as she raised one hand to yank apart the bow at her neck, loosening the collar of her blouse. The movement caused a few tendrils of her moist hair to escape from her bun. Her shiny brown locks fell to frame her face. Once more, André imagined loosening her tight bun, setting those silky brown tresses free, and wrapping his fingers in her curls. Her scalp would already be aching from setting her hair free. He wanted to close his fist on her lovely locks and pull.
"What about these things? A spanking horse? A whipping post? A bondage frame?"
She regarded him again, from above the rims of her glasses. Her expression held censure and something else.
"Curiosity. Perhaps Miss Witherspoon has an interest in such games."
"Aha," he thought with a thrill of excitement at this revelation. André watched as the pulse in her neck started beating like a metronome.
His gaze rose, becoming caught at the sight of her generous lips. For a moment, his mind became distracted as he once more imagined Miss Witherspoon on her knees before him, her lovely mouth wrapped tightly around his cock.
"Please tell me you're not going to assert your religious beliefs concerning these items," she said, her voice suddenly hoarse. "Spanking? Whipping? Bondage?"
Staring at him, her lips parted, then her eyes grew wide with understanding. André's attention locked on her as his instincts took over. The dominant in him pinned her, refusing to allow her to look away. She took an unsteady breath and licked her lips. Kim's pink tongue ran nervously over her generous mouth, a seemingly unconscious motion filled with sexual awareness.
Was he truly unconscious? Mon Dieu.
It was not. His unblinking stare held her captive. A shiver of anticipation coiled within him as he recognized the emotions behind her dark eyes. Passion, lust, need, and raw desire. The woman was aroused. He, of all people, was aware of the signs. She wanted him. André's cock jumped within his pants at the thought. When he spoke, his voice was low, almost a growl.
Non, petite chérie. I do not say any such thing. These are all tools of my craft, which I use to bring both joy and dread to those I counsel. Ecstasy and agony are the two handmaidens in my work. These items of which you speak are essential in freeing my clients through erotic sensation.
His rich baritone filled the small room, charging the atmosphere, while his no-nonsense demeanor was fiercely serious. André's gaze held her motionless and never once wavered. Her face bright with surprise, Miss Witherspoon stared at him, captivated.
Men and women, they come to me and I help them,
he said in a low, seductive voice.
As I am sure, I will be able to help you, chérie.
The moment Miss Witherspoon fully grasped the import of his words, she recoiled.
What? I would never—"
she stammered. Her head nodded up and down, then back and forth, making her look somewhat like a bobblehead doll sitting on the dashboard of a fast-moving car while driving on a bumpy road.
I—"
she gasped. As her composure disintegrated, more tendrils of hair escaped from her bun. André leaned across the narrow desk and gently placed one forefinger across her lips.
"Shh. Be silent now."
The woman's eyes widened further and her eyebrows rose on her forehead, yet she made no sound. Instinctively, she obeyed his command.
"Very good,"
he said, gratified by her instant compliance. André stood up, stepped around the desk, and held out his hand to her. As if mesmerized, she took it. He helped her to her feet, peering down at her. She was shorter than he by almost a foot.
"I prefer that you remain silent, but if you must speak, you shall address me as Sir. What do you say?"
Her eyes searched his, as though looking for answers to questions she was unable to articulate. It took quite a few moments for her to process his words and formulate a reply. André watched and waited patiently.
"Yes, Sir?"
"That is correct," André nodded. "What we do now is by your choice, yes? If you wish to stop at any time, tell me no or stop, and I will cease immediately. Do you understand?"
She bit her lower lip, both anxiety and arousal rolling off of her in waves.
"Yes, sir."
He gently brushed his knuckles down her cheek and jawline in acknowledgement of her response. The index finger of his other hand tapped against her temple.
"Your mind swirls with too many thoughts, ma chérie. Do not think. You must only let yourself feel."
His eyes never left hers, as he used the fingers of both hands to trace over the small bones and features of her face, down along her cheeks and under her chin, stroking her throat. He deliberately placed a possessive hand over her nape and held her there, asserting his control and dominance. When he did,
He was gratified to see a blush of color on her cheeks, and to hear the sudden catch in her breath. Her reactions pleased him. Clearly, Miss Witherspoon's blood stirred when a man took control. André began to slowly and steadily remove the metal pins that were keeping her hair in its tight stricture, carelessly dropping them on the floor. The silken brown waves of her hair sensually cascaded down over his fingers and fell to her neck.
Vos cheveux sont si beaux, on dirait une princesse,
he murmured as he ran his fingers through her locks. Her lips parted.
What did you say?
André's right hand immediately fisted her hair, giving her scalp a sharp tug.
I will tell you, but first, what do you call me?
Sir? I'm sorry, sir.
Smiling his approval, he continued to run his hands through her hair in a soothing caress.
I said, your hair is so beautiful. You look like a princess.
Oh,
she breathed, entranced. Gently, André tugged off her dark-rimmed glasses and placed them on the desk. Miss Witherspoon blinked rapidly. With his thumb, he traced the outline of her lips. They trembled beneath his intentionally sensual touch. A low sigh escaped her throat. André smiled with satisfaction and returned his hand to the nape of her neck. Fisting her hair once more, he slowly pulled her towards him. She did not resist. Softly, his mouth closed over hers, caressing and teasing. As their kiss deepened, she became more involved. Pressing against him, her lips softened, opening wider as his tongue invaded her mouth. Her breath was sweet and minty, yet also tasted slightly of coffee. André's tongue stroked across her teeth, exploring. Miss Witherspoon whimpered in response. Now her body seemed to melt against his, her arms reaching to encircle his neck, one of her heated thighs pressed between his. She moaned. Her whole body shivered, reacting to the touch of his fully erect cock. Like a flame thrown onto kindling, her passion ignited. As he continued to kiss her deeply, André's hands skillfully pulled a suit jacket from her shoulders, leaving her clad in her blouse and gray pencil skirt. He ran his hands down her back and felt the sweat dampen fabric there. His left hand moved from her neck up into her hair, his fingers widely spread as he possessively tugged on her sensitized scalp. He instantly felt Kim's purr of pleasure as he fully claimed her tresses. She sighed and he smiled. He gently stroked the outside edge of her breast with his knuckles. His touch was teasingly light, nearly non-existent. Most of his attention was focused on the intensity of their kiss. He plumbed the depths of her mouth, but not at all crudely. André's kiss was soft and moist, but also determined. He nibbled at her lips, stroked his tongue across every surface of her mouth, drinking in her sweet taste. His eyes never closed, although hers did. He took note of every thought and feeling that crossed her face, as well as noting the throbbing pulse in her neck. Kneading her scalp and occasionally pulling her hair, André caused her to groan in ecstasy. The fingers of his right hand grew more insistent, stroking over her breast, pinching her nipple through her bra, delighted as she jerked and gasped with pleasure. She leaned into him, seeking more, her stomach now pressed firmly against his erection. André chuckled, low and dark. He inched his mouth away from hers. Face to face, she opened her unfocused eyes to his. This most disagreeable woman was no longer disagreeable. In fact, she was drunk with arousal. Kim Witherspoon was his for the taking, and the power and the pleasure of it intoxicated him.
Oui, ma petite. This is for you,
he said huskily as he pointedly pressed his erection even more firmly against her.
But I will use it as I see fit. Is it not so?
Kim nodded. Her eyes were glazed, her lips swollen. She said nothing, yet André could not doubt the woman was mindless with need. She opened her mouth, but before she could utter a sound, André put his fingers against her lips once more.
Non, petite chérie, Do not speak. It is not necessary. Words would only confuse us both. Your most beautiful body speaks directly to me. Allow me to do as I will, for I will give you what you need.
Closing her mouth, she shut her eyes, swallowing convulsively. Then she nodded her consent.
Bon, d'accord. All right. Let us remove this stifling blouse, huh?
And the bra beneath as well.
You will put on a little show for me, yes? Show me your bountiful charms, ma chérie.
André strode over to the settee and sat down to enjoy the sight. Every woman was unique. Every woman special. He could tell much from the manner in which a female stripped her clothes from her body under the lustful eyes of a man. He sighed, for there was also great pleasure in watching. Yet, Miss Kim Witherspoon didn't obey immediately. Was she shy? Embarrassed? Hesitation was a sign of many possibilities. For a moment, André wondered if she'd balk. With a resolute look, she slowly and awkwardly began unbuttoning her blouse. This was no confident, sexy striptease. Her reticence and uncertainty momentarily disturbed him. Surely such a woman could not possibly be an innocent.
Very nice, ma belle,
he encouraged, hoping to help her overcome what appeared to be modesty. Red-faced, she finally stood before him with her blouse and bra on the floor, her massive breasts sagging low without support. They were fleshy and large, with prominent nipples. A rosy blush had risen across them. Clearly embarrassed, she hung her head down toward the floor. The woman was hiding, her hair forming a veil to conceal her face.
Merde, shit.
André swore softly under his breath, as understanding dawned within him. Behind this facade of an ill-tempered lioness was a woman who buried herself away, as though she were a wounded lamb. Her obvious shame and vulnerability made his blood boil, arousing his every protective instinct.
Americans!
Disapproving, prudish, and burdened by mountains of unshakable fixed ideas about just what constituted beauty. It was a great sin that American culture worshipped only thin and young women. Miss Kim Witherspoon, 10 or 15 years his senior, and with a lifetime of valuable, irreplaceable experience, was all woman. And she was ashamed of her beautiful, bountiful body. The injustice of it made him unreasonably angry. André jumped to his feet, sweeping the curtain of her hair away from her face. Lifting her chin with one finger, he raised her eyes to his. Then he grasped her hips harshly between his hands, firmly squeezing her generous flesh.
I am holding you, he growled. Tell me what you see.
The woman's face fell, and her misery looked complete.
Fat,
Miss Witherspoon said, anguished.
You have grabbed 2 handfuls of my disgusting fat. I know I need to lose weight.
Non.
André spoke with imperious authority. Releasing his hold on her, hands interlaced behind his back, he began to pace back and forth across the small office. Miss Witherspoon recoiled in shock and surprise. Perhaps it was from the excessive heat in the room, or waiting, or his irritability with the world in general. Whatever the reason, André had to fight to gain control of his temper. He spun toward her, pointing a finger.
I would blame the stupidity of men, yet they are not the only ones responsible,
he said, regaining his composure and keeping his voice low.
You women are also very critical of yourselves. Why is this? Do you know?
Stunned in the silence, Miss Witherspoon said nothing.
Is it the publications?
André asked.
I have seen your glossy women's magazines. Half of them are filled with articles about accepting yourself and pronouncing that you are beautiful as you are. And the other half?
He flung his hands in the air in a show of frustration.
The other half? It overflows with articles about weight loss and how to create the perfect body in just 4 weeks.
André seized Kim's hands with his own, brought them to his lips to bestow a kiss. Then he placed them one on each of his hips, holding them firmly there.
Tell me now and be honest. What do you feel when you touch my body?
Eyes wide, she gaped at him, but managed to reply.
Hard muscle, sir?
Just so.
He smiled, amused and calmed by the confusion evident in her expression.
For a moment, if you please. Close your eyes and pretend that you are me.
When she closed her eyes, he moved her hands back to her own hips, squeezing the flesh there. Then he moved her hands back to his hips. There, she was unable to compress his firm male muscle as it rested so tightly against the bone.
There is a very great difference, n'est-ce pas?
He observed.
Do you feel it?
Yes, sir.
Bon, I am a man, ma chérie. Do you imagine that when I wish to make love to a woman, I crave hardness?
He pressed her hands against his hips.
Or do I long for the most entrancing and oh-so-feminine feel of soft, silky flesh?
He moved her hands back to grasp her own supple hips.
Softness, sir?
As you say. Open your eyes now and regard yourself.
He clutched the folds of her flesh once more.
Magnifique. Of a certainty, that is how I would describe you. You are gloriously female, petite chérie. Never doubt your beauty or your power, comprenez-vous? You understand?
Kim's spine straightened. Her eyes gleamed.
Yes, sir.
André's gaze locked onto hers. This was a sensitive subject, yet he knew very well that he was getting through to her.
Ma chérie, for a relationship with a discerning kind of man you seek?
He shrugged his shoulders in his uniquely Gaelic way.
I tell you now, such a relationship, it is not about the body fat, no.
They stared at each other while a powerful sense of connection arose between them. These perfect moments of intense and intimate understanding between himself and another were what André lived for.
Thank you, sir.
She murmured gratefully. André grasped her hand and gallantly brought her wrist up to his lips. Skillfully caressing her pulse points, he felt her shiver. The scent of her arousal hung delicately in the heat of the small room. Her vulnerability, her desirability, and her scent all added to his own excitement.
You are most welcome,
he murmured, bending his head forward.
Now, I shall reward your bravery.
His mouth sought out her nipple, laving it with his tongue, suckling her with hard, rhythmic tugs. Presently, he began pinching each nipple with his lips and then his teeth. Her back arched in response to the erotic sensation. The result of her movement made him pinch harder, stretching out her taut nipple between his teeth.
Oh, God.
She gasped in a low moan, her spike of sensual need evident.
La femme idéale, the ideal woman.
André chuckled happily to himself.
She enjoys a little pain with her pleasure. Well, I am just the man to provide it.
André had studied the arts of love and power just as a chess master studied the board. It was his vocation, his
raison d'être, reason for living.
Now he seamlessly slipped into a hypervigilant state of mind, his body totally attuned to hers. Every motion, shudder, change in breathing, groan, or utterance she expressed were all clues. Clearly, Kim Witherspoon delighted in her surrender. André was utterly aware of what she liked and of what she needed. Her scent, her rising temperature, and the swelling of her anatomy, as well as the indicators of her blushing and the goosebumps on her flesh, were all signals of her arousal. Her aroma shifted as her fervor increased, at first mild and sweet, then becoming stronger, more powerful. Subtle nuances spoke volumes to the knowledgeable Frenchman. His fingers took hold of both of her nipples and began to torturously pull, pinch, and twist. Occasionally, he took one of them in his mouth, raking his teeth over the tips, nipping and biting. Kim loudly began to whimper and moan with pleasure. In no hurry, he savored her every reaction. Some women could climax simply from breast and nipple manipulation alone. Perhaps Miss Witherspoon would be such a one. André continued his erotic torment for many minutes, until the sounds she made became more and more desperate.
Please, sir.
Please what?
He carefully studied her lust-filled eyes, dark with sensual pleasure. She was dazed and clearly unable to reply. He nuzzled her, licking and biting at the crook of her neck, while continuing to fondle her breasts and tug on her nipples. Her head dropped back to expose her throat.
Yes, oh yes,
she gasped. Groaning loudly, she made no attempt to pull away. No, she wouldn't hold back. The woman was prepared to give him everything. André used his body to maneuver her over to the settee, facing him. He pressed the backs of her knees against it, forcing her to drop into a sitting position. Removing his tie, André unbuttoned his damp shirt and wiped the perspiration from his forehead and the rest of his face. He then lowered himself, kneeling on the floor before her, as he considered exactly where he wished to begin. His hand slid her low-heeled black shoes from her feet, one at a time. His thumbs pushed against her instep, massaging the arch, and moving across the ball of her foot. Kim hummed as her body relaxed at the sensation.
That feels so good, sir,
she said.
I am glad, chérie.
André smiled as he ran his hand upward from her ankle, stroking the pressure points there, behind her knees and thighs. He knew that explosive orgasms came from alternating moments of relaxation and coiling tension. Her skirt had rucked up, revealing scanty pink underwear, which he could see had become thoroughly saturated by her arousal. André's fingers grazed the damp surface of her panties, and Kim reacted as though she'd been given an electric shock. Her body jerked, and she gasped, her hand reflexively clutching his upper arm as if to steady herself.
C'est bon, that's good. Now, my sweet, I wish to see your sex.
Together they maneuvered her skirt and panties off, wiggling her lovely, soft rump across the settee as they did so. Her pubic hair was tidily trimmed, which pleased him. André could practically see the aura of desire emanating from her, like heat waves on a Nevada highway. He removed her clothes from where they lay pooled around her ankles, carelessly flinging them aside. Pulling her legs toward him, André dragged her body down the settee so that her buttocks were almost off of the low sofa entirely. He smiled and kissed the insides of her thighs. They were so feminine, so soft. He recalled with satisfaction of the numerous classes he'd taken in speech therapy. Although he had little interest in pursuing a career in that field, he had an abiding passion for being able to bring a woman exquisite pleasure with only his voice and his mouth. With his natural talent and enthusiasm, the classes had taught him how to use that most versatile muscle, his tongue. It also improved the strength and stamina of his face, jaw muscles, lips, and mouth. André never got a stiff neck or a sore jaw, regardless of how long he chose to perform his desired tasks. The simple, daily exercises he practiced provided him with both accuracy and oral dexterity. His kisses moved closer to his prize, circling her vulva, never directly contacting her clit. The blood-swollen little nub was standing tall, begging for his attention. She smelled sweet and musky, a pleasant womanly scent.
Ah, she is a feast to be savored, he thought.
André felt his erection trying to burst through his pants. There was nothing quite like the smell of an aroused woman, except, of course, the taste.
Spread your legs further, he ordered, as far as you can.
Her breath caught, aroused by his command.
Yes, sir,
she said, promptly complying.
Je suis enchanté. I am enchanted. You are so pretty and pink.
He lowered his face, blew warm breath across her twitching sex, and then let the actions of his tongue speak for him. Gently at first, then more insistently, he plundered her folds, lapping at the cream he found there.
Oh, sir,
she called out, writhing with erotic pleasure.
Oh, please.
Do not come yet, ma chérie,
he warned her in a tone of reprimand.
You may not climax without my permission. Do you wish to come for me?
Yes, yes.
Can you wait?
Her moan of suffering almost had André laughing out loud, yet she finally panted.
Yes, sir.
Good girl.
Then his tongue performed much as his cock would like to, plunging deep inside of her. Adoring her responses, André lavished attention on her clitoris, swirling around and brushing against it, wringing hoarse, inarticulate cries from her, but never sucking it inside his mouth.
Est-ce que t'as vu ça? Look, can you see?
I prepare your most feminine hole for my cock. It is very good, no? Oh, sir.
Her enthusiastic response made him chuckle. Pushing two fingers, drenched with her juices, deep into her core made her scream. With a delighted, lust-filled smile, he twisted and turned, driving his digits in and out. Between André's tongue and his skilled fingering, Kim shuddered and moaned. Her passionate sounds became so desperate and loud, one could be excused in thinking that the poor woman was being tortured. It was, of course, torture. Sensual torture. Heat flared through André as his body grew tight with carnal awareness. He was as conscious of her desperate need and her hunger as he was of his own.
You may come for me when you are able.
He breathed. André's pulse was pounding. His straining erection throbbed. The sounds and sights of a fully aroused Kim Witherspoon tested his formidable control. André lived by the motto, "The woman always comes first." He enjoyed making his partner come, usually repeatedly, all before he did. Not today. Not with this woman. Right now, he needed release. So he would make her achieve completion, yet only once.
Mon Dieu, I want you,
he murmured.
Yes,
she moaned. When his full lips locked around her clitoris, she shuddered, her sex pulsing as she gave voice to her bliss.
Oui, oui, good girl,
he murmured as she tightened, convulsing around his fingers with her orgasm. He watched her climax, aching to be inside her. When her tremors ended, he found it such a pleasure to give such pleasure, he changed his mind.
I want to watch you come again.
Oh, sir, so soon, she said. I don't know if I can.
He smiled.
You can, and you will.
At the first touch of his fingers on her sensitive folds, Kim closed her legs in reflex.
Non, open for me,
he growled, and she immediately obeyed. André started slowly, softly licking her until her tension lessened and then began building once more. She began to sigh deeply in pleasure. After a few minutes, he began to suckle her clitoris, humming, so that the vibration created additional stimulation. At the same time, his tongue moved briskly back and forth, and his fingers massaged the most sensitive areas within her depths. The moment that he gently bit down on the root of her clit, Kim screamed, convulsing into another orgasm. Of a certainty, this climax was much stronger than the last. André's hands held her thighs down to prevent her from bucking right off the sofa. Her grunts, thrusts, and cries of completion were not at all ladylike, but they were tremendously gratifying. He continued to pleasure her as she rode out wave after wave of her intense climax. André pulled back, watching her quake with the last of her aftershocks. She lounged, limp and unmoving, as he stood up and removed his silk shirt. Sitting down on the settee, he lifted her astride his lap, facing him, acutely mindful of his raging erection. Proud of his control, André felt unusually tested by this woman. It was another reason to wait for his own completion. Kim's knees were on the sofa on either side of him. Languid and tousled from her recent passion, she looked amazing. André cupped her cheeks, bringing her lips to his, kissing her again, letting her taste herself on his mouth. He began gently,
but as she responded to him, he became more aggressive. His hands roamed over her, rubbing her back and arms before returning to concentrate on her breasts. He stroked them, feeling their heaviness, running his fingernails across the hard buds of her nipples. Kim now panted with desire.
C'est merveilleux, how marvelous.
An echo of his own sensual enjoyment. He breathed in each gasp that left her lips. Gradually, he raised her level of arousal, bringing her to the edge again, without letting her tip over into another orgasm. She whimpered and groaned softly as he manhandled her. Whenever she began to crest, André pulled back, returning to stroking her legs or her hair from time to time, nuzzling, licking, and biting her neck. At each interval, once her arousal had receded a bit, he continued his assault on her senses in a mixture of pleasurable ways. His fingers plucked and twisted her nipples. His tongue plundered her warm, wet mouth. When her rough gasps began to escalate in volume and frequency, André chuckled darkly and set her down next to him on the settee.
Please, sir,
she begged piteously. He stood, observing her glazed expression and the desperate hunger in her eyes. André loved denying her, making her arousal build, causing her to tremble, shake her head, whimper, and plead for release.
Now, ma petite chérie, it is time,
he said in a deceptively soft voice.
I wish to bind your arms behind your back. Will you stop me?
She shook her head. No, sir.
Good.
Smiling, André purposefully strode to the coat hooks on the wall, removing the scarf hanging there, and returned to her. He held her wrists behind her back, binding them together across each other in the form of an X.
You are at my mercy, yes?
He asked.
It is for you to take what I give you. I vow you will thank me when I am finished.
Yes, sir.
Kim's eyes darkened with anticipation, trepidation, and lust. Her gaze never once left him as he worked. It was as though he were the only thing in her universe. Bound, pliant, and needy, the woman gave him a heady sense of power. André was thrilled at her compliance, his soul filled with triumph. Kim Witherspoon was aroused by his power and control over her. As a dom, there was nothing more satisfying than having the full attention of an eager submissive. There was no doubt that she was a sub. Being mastered fired her blood.
Mon Dieu, vous êtes parfait, tel que vous êtes,
he murmured. Kim tilted her head, giving him a puzzled look.
Pardon.
His voice was husky with desire.
I said, my God, you are perfect, just as you are. Never forget this, for it is the truth.
Her lust-filled smile was warm and open. Whatever walls she had built around her had fallen completely.
Thank you, sir.
He went to the desk, pulled open the top drawer, and carefully selected 2 1/2-inch mini metal binder clips. After testing one on his finger, he felt these might as well have been designed for the use he planned. Returning to her, André knelt before her and took her luscious breasts into his mouth, one at a time, using his tongue and his teeth on her nipples.
Look at me now and be very still,
he ordered with a peremptory demand. Deftly, he lifted a breast in his palms, tugging on its erect nub. He heard her gasp and watched her eyes darken further as he clipped the first metal clip onto her nipple. A soft sound, somewhere between a whimper and a groan, left her throat, but she didn't resist him, nor did she move an inch.
Very good,
he soothed. The next nipple clip caused a distinct flinch, yet, although breathless and aroused, she remained motionless as ordered. Both clips were successfully applied to her swollen nubs. Her pendulous breasts grew even weightier, her nipples erect, the clips pulling and pinching.
Do you like it, chérie? It is agreeable.
Panting, Kim stared down at her clamped breasts, and a flood of liquid rushed from within her. She loved it, André could tell. Such erotic sensation aroused her, and in return her passion excited his.
Oh, God, oh, fuck, oh, God,
she breathed.
Yes, sir.
André smiled. C'est bon, bravo, that's good, congratulations. To see you bound with your most generous nipples clamped, you make me very hard. I ache for you.
He stood again, then helped position her onto her knees on the settee. Directing her forward, he moved her so that her throbbing breasts rested directly upon the cushioned arm of the small sofa. The cushioning offered her little comfort, though, since the rough upholstery of the settee chafed against her breasts as they pressed against the armrest, and as the clips clamped tightly on those sweet cherries. André went to the umbrella stand and searched its contents. Umbrella, umbrella, aha! A thin walking stick. He removed it from the stand and ran his elegant fingers along its surface, feeling for any rough spots or splinters. It was surprisingly smooth, perfect for what he had in mind. If she relished the spanking he planned to give her, he would be prepared to take such discipline further. André ran his hands over her body, positioning her so that her back was arched, her buttocks were raised upwards and ready for his attention. He stood over her, his voice a low, predatory growl.
Now, chérie, you must pay the price for your disrespect.
His voice resonated in the tiny space.
You have summoned me, ignored me, and made me wait. Eh bien, well, I am here. And now I am going to turn your sweet derriere scarlet. Merde, you will not be able to sit for a week.
Kim licked her lips and then bit down on her lower one.
What do you say?
Thank you, sir. I'm sure I deserve it, as I was very rude.
André considered her, pleased as his threat of punishment didn't appear to deter her. If anything, she was more aroused than ever. He smiled.
I could ask you to count. At this, I am sure you are most skilled, no? But perhaps it is better if you stop counting for today and just feel. I shall decide what number it shall be. You have no say in it. This is my will. You must simply be.
Kim's body quivered. André reached out and rubbed his large hand across her jittery rump, roughly caressing her flesh. He was not gentle. His fingers were squeezing, poking, and at last, lightly slapping her buttocks. She breathed out, exhaling a long, gusting breath. André had a great deal of experience spanking women. He was simply warming her up for now, increasing her blood circulation, waking up her nerve endings, and bringing the lower half of her body to attention. For the love of Christ, she was so sexy in this position, on her knees with her legs spread and her luscious derriere and pussy displayed for his use and pleasure.
You are beautiful, ma chérie, he said. I want you very much.
Thank you, sir,
she breathed. His tempo increased, his hands slapping across both ass cheeks, first one and then the other. Finally, he struck her with the flat of his hand on the curve of her buttocks, a nice, hard crack. She groaned from deep within her chest, yet she never raised her head, nor did she utter a word of protest. Kim seemed entranced by her view of the floor beyond the arm of the settee.
Do you like this, ma chérie? Tell me now, or I shall stop.
Yes, sir,
she breathed.
Oh, yes.
C'est bien, very good. Shall I give you more?
Yes, please, sir,
she moaned. He laughed joyously at her instant, enthusiastic response. In his experience, many women could experience hard, nearly violent climaxes simply from blows to their backside. André imagined a young, healthy man energetically fucking a woman from behind, his eager hips, thighs, and balls slapping loudly, rapidly, and repeatedly against her thighs, pussy, and buttocks. To his mind, the sensation experienced during a spanking was similar to the vigorous pounding from such enthusiastic, single-minded sex. André struck her again and again across both buttocks, a little harder now, pausing to caress her abused derriere, and then his hands moved to her waist. Kim was breathing hard. His palm slid down her back and belly, cupping her mound with his hand,
softly stroking her clit. She made a noise, a hungry sound of want and need. André smiled with profound satisfaction. Mon Dieu! The woman was dripping. They both knew that for Miss Kim Witherspoon, this was no punishment. Her back repeatedly arched and her buttocks often reached toward his cruel hand. The spanking was causing powerful and sensuous stirrings in her swollen, engorged sex. It was time to give her more.
Please, sir,
she panted.
Please what?
I need to come. Not yet. Soon.
She almost sobbed in frustration, and he chuckled. Finally, her sweet ass was a rosy pink, and André's palm smarted. Without warning, he stepped back, raised the cane, and brought it down sharply across both cheeks. Her surprised wail echoed through the small, enclosed office. André carefully studied her reaction.
This is the penalty for your rudeness and arrogance, no? You commanded me to come to your office, and then ignored me when I arrived. Shall I stop?
After a breathless moment, she replied,
No, sir. I earned every stroke.
He chuckled, and with precision, André brought the cane down again. Each time he did so, he paused and stroked her sore cheeks, running his hand over them in circles and fondling her slit, her outer lips and her clit. Each blow landed next to the one that preceded it, creating a series of thin, lovely red welts, arranged in parallel rows. Kim's legs were trembling, while her arousal was evident as it dripped down her thighs. She moaned and writhed, crying out in agonized ecstasy. André knew the signs. She was very close to a most powerful release. Each subsequent strike brought a yell, and after five of his best, tears ran from her eyes. Her entire body clenched. Gasping, she nearly climaxed.
Do not come, ma chérie. Not yet. Do you wish to come for me?
Yes, sir. God, yes.
Not until I fuck you. Prepare yourself, for this is the last one, he warned.
André moved slightly and brought the cane down at an angle, nearly bisecting the other lines with his final cuts.
Oh, God, please.
Unsure whether she was begging for him to stop or to continue, André let the cane drop to the floor and divested himself of his trousers. He pulled a condom from his pants pocket and knelt on the sofa behind her. Kim's soft skin would be extremely sensitive, hot and needy. His hand stroked over the reddened, welted ass. Displayed in front of him, he admired it in all its glory. Then, he let his fingers invade her folds. Kim cried out with pleasure. Her juices had cascaded from her pussy, and they ran down both legs to form puddles around her knees where they pressed into the cushion. The woman was a river. Her vulva was puffy and inflamed with heat. Struggling to part her knees even further, she was desperately trying to draw him in, to fill the aching emptiness inside of her. What a vision. Miss Witherspoon was so pretty, bound and kneeling, with her head down and her ass in the air. Fully aroused, her buttocks reddened by his hand, the pink welts showing vividly against her creamy skin, the woman was more than ready for him. Her flesh would radiate heat, burning like fire against his thighs as he took her. He once again ran his hands over her body, admiring her shapely, red derriere. Then he fingered her moist folds, tapped and stroked her clit, keeping her eager and on the edge of climax. Kim arched and squirmed, making soft, desperate sounds.
Tell me what you want, chérie. You must ask for it.
Oh, please fuck me, please, sir. I've been trying so hard to be good. Please, may I have your cock inside of me?
Oui, oui. You have accepted your discipline. Now I shall reward you. Do not climax without my permission, yes?
No, sir, I promise.
Good girl,
he said softly,
giving her back a loving caress. André tore open the condom wrapper with his teeth and applied the condom to his jutting cock with one hand. With the other, he held her open. Slapping her clit with his swollen erection, he rubbed the tip of his penis around her entry. In this manner, he smoothed her moisture on himself while teasing her most sensitive parts. "So sleek and wet and ready," he thought. Affectionately, André gathered and tugged on her hair, pulling it like reins on a pony. She groaned aloud and stretched her neck backwards, signaling her submission. For a moment, he possessively held her bound wrists, acknowledging his will, his dominance over her. Excruciatingly slowly, André dipped his cock into her a bit at a time, pulling back and then pushing forward again. The entire time he spoke to her in French, dark, erotic words of passion, of lust, and of adoration. Kim cried rapturously as he filled her. She was surprisingly tight, a woman who perhaps hadn't had regular or recent sex. It took a minute before he was securely seated, balls deep within her warm depths. Once inside of her, he stopped moving, listening to the sound of the ragged breathing in the small room. Kim's molten core pulsed around him, while her punished ass cheeks throbbed hot against his thighs. He panted with effort as her inner muscles squeezed his cock. Her legs trembled and her body shook with need beneath him. André smiled broadly, reveling in the intensely erotic sensations. All was as he planned. They were both on the edge, prepared to enjoy a most passionate ride. He reached forward with both hands and snapped the makeshift nipple clamps off from her nipples, freeing her tortured nubs. Kim's anguished cry accompanied his act. They would throb, throb, throb as the blood returned, spiking her arousal. André savored her sensual pain and erotic pleasure as though sipping a delicate claret. Then he grabbed her hips strongly, his grip so tight his fingertips would likely leave bruises on her pale flesh. Excellent. He would mark her. It would be a happy memory for her to see for many days to come. Now he began to drive his cock in and out of her, hearing the wet swish and the slap of his testicles against her hungry flesh. She called out each time he filled her, his strokes becoming more aggressive, more frenzied. André ran his hands over her abused buttocks, showing no mercy, gripping and twisting the pink lines that welted her so beautifully. As his balls grew unbearably tight, the pleasure pain of it set off an electric spark in his spine, yet he still forced himself to wait. "Control," he assured himself. "I have full control." "You are close?" he asked, his accents thick with passion.
"Yes. Oh, yes, sir."
"Then come for me, ma chérie,"
he growled, reaching down to rapidly strum her swollen clitoris.
"Let me feel you squeeze my cock. Come, come now."
Kim keened loudly as he hammered into her, hard and deep and punishing strokes. His every thrust pushed her poor abraded nipples into the arm of the sofa. André knew women, and he deeply knew their bodies. The combination of his vigorous fucking, together with the excruciatingly erotic sensations in her rump, nipples, and breasts, would be sending streaks of intense pleasure directly to her clit. As planned, Kim's back bowed as she came apart. The woman screamed and screamed and screamed, the violence of her powerful orgasm almost bucking him out of her body and off of the settee. The muscular walls of her pussy contracted tightly around him, gripping him with their pulsating rhythm. The sensation of her clamping down on his cock felt divine. Unable to hold on to both her and his climax, André finally released his massive control. His head flew back, his hips thrust brutally forward as he convulsed. Electric heat and pleasure tore through him in a powerful rush into his thighs, buttocks, back, shoulders, and abdominals. With a guttural cry, he spurted into the thin sheath again and again and again. This splendidly feminine woman took everything he gave her.
My balls are beyond empty, he thought, but my dominant soul has been filled.
For a minute, or perhaps two, neither of them moved from where they had come to rest, entwined together on the settee. Well, except for Kim, who was still shaking and trembling uncontrollably with aftershocks. Soon, though, André stroked his hands down her shoulders, breasts, and back, murmuring soft words of endearment as he untied her wrists. He spoke to her, partly in French, partly in nonsensical words of endearment, as though he were gentling a startled filly. She blew out her breath and he brushed her sweat-soaked hair away from her face. André sat back, drawing himself out of her. He removed the condom, tossing it into a nearby wastebasket. Her eyes were closed. Despite her heaving chest, there was a serene smile on her face. A devotee of aftercare, André resumed his ministrations, pulling Kim into his arms, stroking her and murmuring softly, his hands always in contact with her heated flesh. He embraced her, his lips nuzzling into her neck. It could have been as much as a half an hour before her aftershocks passed and her body ultimately stilled. She turned to him, finally, raising her hand to stroke his cheek. Her eyes were dark and unblinking as she stared at him.
Thank you, sir. That was incredible.
André smiled at her, raising one eyebrow in a typically Gaelic look.
You are well, ma petite chérie?
She smiled back at him.
Oh, yes, sir. I've...
She shook her head with disbelief, shock, and surprise.
Honestly, I've never had so many orgasms at one time. And that last one? It was by far the most powerful orgasm I've ever had. It was the best ever.
It was the best?
She nodded. The absolute best.
He grinned and gave her a little bow.
I am honored. Then our business together is finished. Your investigation into my tax records has been found to be satisfactory.
I'm certainly satisfied, she said, blushing and suddenly shy. Her eyes dropped and André laughed.
He stood, heedless of his nudity, and went to the door of Kim's office, throwing it open. A rush of cooler air penetrated the tiny space. André strode out into the hallway to a set of hangers, on which hung a series of plush bathrobes. He pulled his from its hanger. Made in England, it was an embroidered silk dressing gown with a red velvet trim. The English knew dressing gowns. André tugged it over his shoulders and brought another bathrobe back into the office. This he wrapped around Kim.
Merde, it is very hot in this little room, André said. It was a most excellent idea to turn up the thermostat.
Kim stood in the office doorway, leaning up against the door jamb. She laughed, an earthy, jubilant sound.
You liked it? She asked, hopefully.
Very much. I enjoyed your most amusing vision.
You did?
She said, unable to hide her pleasure at his praise. André grinned.
Oui, oui. I have never role-played as a victim of the bullying IRS agent before. This is true artistry. Clearly, you are an experienced connoisseur. I read your email concerning your wish to include opulent Sultan's chambers and also the back seat of a 1950s Chevy at the drive-in.
Oh, yes, I have so many wonderful ideas. Would you like to see more of them?
Non, I wish to be surprised.
André looked across the hallway toward the other theme rooms in his Las Vegas headquarters.
I will sign a one-year contract with your consultancy firm to introduce new creations monthly. I wish for the clients of my well-equipped dungeon to enjoy ongoing variety in the playrooms.
Thank you, Monsieur Chevalier.
Her eyes were bright, and her pronunciation of his surname was now flawless.
And the black, horn-rimmed eyeglasses, they were a prop?
He asked curiously. She grinned.
Yes?
Very clever, ma chérie.
Miss Kim Witherspoon licked her lips and averted her gaze as color reddened her features once more.
There was something else, ma petite?
Kim kept her eyes lowered.
Sir,
she asked in a quiet voice,
Would you desire my attendance each month when you wish to try out the new rooms?
André smiled and lifted her chin with one idle hand, meeting her gaze. A scene such as the one they just shared created an intense connection, lasting or transitory. Such a bond of understanding was very, very real. With one look, André saw her yearning, her submissive need, and a shadow of her aching loneliness. His heart lurched with a pang of pain. This sensual and creative woman seemed to have no concept of her value.
I will change that, André decided.
For a submissive such as Kim, it would be a simpler matter to introduce her to the perfect dom.
Most certainly, I will have no other,
he said, giving her a small bow.
It would be my very great honor and my pleasure to experience each new sim room with you.
Kim grinned and her uninhibited smile transformed her face. In this moment, she was more beautiful than ever. What would she look like on her knees before him, her gaze fixed adoringly on him as his erection filled her mouth? Even though recently sated, his cock twitched at the thought. He extended his hand to her.
Come, my dear. Let us repair to the steam room, pool, and sauna, to take our ease after such strenuous activities.
What a great idea. Kim giggled and placed her hand in his as he led her down the hall.
You are a magnificent sub, he stated, and I refuse to neglect my aftercare responsibilities. Recently, I have discovered an excellent cream with which to anoint your hurts.
Thank you, sir.
Vous êtes le bienvenu. You are most welcome.
Pausing, he turned to her with a wry, teasing frown.
It is unfortunate that I cannot resolve my real tax issues as easily and as pleasurably as this.
The sound of Kim's joyous laughter echoed down the hall. The end.
Come in and shut the door behind you, snarled the woman André had come to see.
Astonished, yet obedient, André Chevalier strode into the office and quietly closed the door. He turned to discover the identity of the person responsible for rudely barking the order. Head down, the woman with whom André had an appointment remained intensely absorbed by the papers on her desk. Hand to his abdomen, he essayed her a small, respectful bow.
Bonjour, mademoiselle,
he said in his most soothing manner. André's voice, a deep, rich baritone that was irresistible to women. This woman resisted. In fact, she said nothing, nor did she bother to even look up at him. André paused for a moment, still waiting to be addressed further. Finding himself utterly ignored, he quietly sat down in front of her desk in a rather uncomfortable metal folding chair. Minutes passed in awkward silence. André Chevalier crossed his leg over his knee, carefully maintaining the crease in his pant leg. He was suffering from an array of emotions he rarely experienced. Disquiet, irritation, and worst of all, boredom. Glancing across the desk, he studied the rather severe-looking female seated behind it. The exceptionally curvaceous woman appeared to be in her early 40s. André noted that she wore no jewelry, nor was there a wedding ring on her finger. The nameplate on the desk read, Miss Kim Witherspoon, IRS Investigator. Miss Witherspoon had not once raised her head or even acknowledged his presence. For some.